King Ahaz, about whom we read in the first lesson today, was a direct descendant of King David and the 12th king to rule in David's line. But Isaiah was also an evil and faithless man who disgraced his office. Recall that David was succeeded by his son Solomon, who was succeeded by his son Rehoboam. Upon the death of Solomon, however, 10 of the 12 tribes would not accept the rule of the reckless Rehoboam, and so they seceded to form the northern kingdom of Israel. But when the kingdom was divided, the tribes of Judah and Benjamin remained loyal to the house of David and formed the southern kingdom of Judah. And it was this southern kingdom which Ahaz ruled from Jerusalem more than 2 centuries after David's death. During the reign of Ahaz, both of the Jewish kingdoms were in danger from the ascendant Assyrian Empire to their north and east. And the kingdom of Israel appealed to the kingdom of Judah for an alliance of mutual defense against the Assyrians. But Ahaz instead made a deal with the Assyrian king, Tiglath-Pileser III, one of the most impressive and energetic rulers of the ancient Near East. Ahaz betrayed his own brethren in the northern kingdom to become friends with Tiglath-Pileser, and then Ahaz gradually adopted Assyrian customs, including their pagan religion. Ahaz ordered a shrine to the false Assyrian gods to be erected in the temple at Jerusalem, and he rearranged the sacred furnishings of the temple to accommodate this abomination. Ahaz died at age 36, and his son Hezekiah became king after him. Hezekiah knew that his father was an apostate who betrayed the covenant, and so he did not bury Ahaz among the kings of Judah. King Hezekiah then closed the temple for 2 weeks so that it could be purified of its desecration and returned to the right worship of the God of Israel. Throughout the reign of Ahaz, the king was regularly challenged and condemned for his wickedness by the prophet Isaiah, who told him to hope in the Lord rather than in pagan kings like Tiglath-Pileser. When Ahaz refused to hear the word of God, Isaiah spoke of a child to come, a child who would restore the unified kingdom of God, a child who would have no human father. Isaiah declared to Ahaz, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men that you must weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." The prophet Isaiah spoke these words to Ahaz over 700 years before the birth of the Lord Jesus. But as we read today, both from Paul's letter to the Romans and from Matthew's gospel, the conception and birth of Jesus Christ were understood by the church from the beginning as the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. The first man on earth to learn the truth about Mary's son was Joseph, her husband, and a direct descendant of King David. But unlike his ancestor Ahaz, Joseph was a just man and a true Israelite. When Joseph learned that Mary was pregnant, but knew the child was not his, he sought a quiet way to avoid scandal. But then the Lord spoke to him in a dream through the ministry of an angel, a messenger who is not named by Matthew, but is held by ancient tradition to be the same Gabriel who told Zechariah of his son John the Baptist, and who 6 months later came to Mary with the news that she would be the mother of the Savior, the anointed one who would rule forever from the throne of David, not only over the tribes of Israel, but over all the tribes of the earth, gathered together in a single eternal kingdom of peace. St. Matthew tells us of the angel's message. "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place, Matthew reports, to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, meaning Isaiah. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. After that encounter with Gabriel, Joseph raised the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, as his own son. And from Saint Joseph came the identity of the Messiah as the son of David by adoption, a gift Christ would later extend to all of his disciples to become sons and daughters of God by adoption. The Gospel of Jesus Christ is the story of the fall and redemption of the entire human race, and the mission of the Apostle Paul was to teach that gospel to all nations, the Gentiles. In our second lesson today from Paul's letter to the Romans, the apostle explains who he is and why he is writing to the Christians in the capital city of the empire. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, meaning what we call the Old Testament, concerning his son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In summary, this is the good news of salvation. And the astounding truth of the world's redemption is not something we can simply read about as though we were reading about events of another time and place in a history book. Rather, in every time and place, the gospel of Jesus Christ demands a decision from all who hear it proclaimed. Is this good news the full truth of the eternal destiny of the whole world, or not? Is Jesus of Nazareth a liar, a lunatic, or the Lord? Is Christ both God the Son, because of his divine nature, and the Son of David, through his adoptive father Joseph? Is Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Mary, also truly God with us, the Emmanuel of whom Isaiah spoke to faithless Ahaz so many centuries ago? St. Paul wrote to the Romans about these mysteries to awaken in them what he called the obedience of faith. And that same obedience is required of all who would follow Christ in the way of the cross. You see, the gospel cannot be accepted only with notional assent, which leaves our lives unchanged. Instead, the gospel demands a commitment of our entire selves, body, mind, and spirit, so that the Lord can change us by grace through faith into a new creation, and then equip us to live in fidelity to the word of God, something that King Ahaz refused to do. Ahaz lived while the children of Abraham were divided among themselves, and he saw that the Assyrians were in every way more impressive than the kingdoms of Israel and Judah. The energy and vision of the Assyrians led by Tiglath-Pileser convinced Ahaz that he and his people were, to borrow a phrase from Marxist revolutionaries, on the wrong side of history. And so Ahaz exchanged his birthright as a descendant of Abraham for the pagan customs of an alien people, leading him even to the desecration of the temple, the dwelling place of God on earth. We, meanwhile, live while Christians are divided into factions too numerous to count. And in a world shaped by the sexual and digital revolutions, the church can seem like a dusty relic of ignorance and superstition, even to many of the baptized, and sadly, to not a few of the ordained. The energy and vision of those who seek to build a world without the Bible and against the God of the Bible can make it seem to many Christians that we are on the wrong side of history. And so we are tempted to beliefs and behaviors that lead to the desecration of our souls and our bodies, which at the moment of our baptism become temples of the Holy Spirit, new dwelling places of God on earth. But history is none other than God's story, His story. And so anything contrary to the Word of God is truly on the wrong side of history. If we live in fidelity to the Word of God through the obedience of faith, then we find that all the kingdoms of this world are as nothing compared to the kingdom of God, a kingdom which first came among us in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of David, who unites all the tribes of the earth in his universal kingdom of justice, love, and peace. The fourth and final Advent candle has now been kindled. And as our celebration of the birth of the Messiah approaches, it is time for us to make a decision. We must decide to accept the gospel in the obedience of faith and then shape our lives by that liberating truth, or not. And we should understand this. If we refuse to decide for the truth of the gospel in the obedience of faith, then we are choosing against the gospel, whether we say we are or not. And sometimes we even try to disguise such disobedience to ourselves and to others with a pose of false piety, like Ahaz declaring to Isaiah that he would not seek out a sign out of respect for the Lord. You see, culpable agnosticism is really just disobedience disguised as modesty. And it leads to falsehood and separation from the covenant, both in Israel and in the church, especially when such willful ignorance is used as a justification for sin. King Ahaz was called by Isaiah to govern his life according to the word of God, but he refused to do so. We are called to learn from the failure of Ahaz and to be guided in every way by the truth of divine revelation in the Word made flesh. Friends, if we want to live as adopted sons and daughters of God the Father, then by the gift of the Holy Spirit, we must live as brothers and sisters of his only Son, the child whose mother was a virgin. The Lord Jesus is the Christ, the Anointed One, who is the perpetual sign of God's providential love for his people Israel, the people to whom the Gentiles are now joined by grace through faith in Emmanuel, God with us, who saves us from our sins and redeems the world from everlasting death. He is God the Son of Mary, and the Son of David, the one who is, who was, and who is to come. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.